Yeah, David?
Do you want to go back?
Back where?
Back to the best.
Back to the best?
Back to the best. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Back to the Best. I'm David.
And I'm Grace, and this is our podcast where we talk about all the best things from the 90s to the 2000s, which is also known as the best times.
To all of our first-time listeners, welcome, and to all of our former besties returning.
Welcome back. Ooh, we had a little bit of a different thing going on there. It was a little bit fun. Like David and I were behind the scenes doing things with our hands. Like we were kind of like vibing off of our tones. Mm-hmm. We had different inflections, I think.
Inflection and tone is so important.
It's March. It's the new us.
Happy March, everybody. Happy, it's Women's Month, right? Women's History Month?
Yeah. Hey,
happy, sure. Happy month.
Thanks. It's just for me. No, it's women. It's for women.
St. Patrick's Day is coming up.
We love St. Patrick's Day.
Is Easter in March this year?
I don't know. You know what throws me? That Easter's on a different day every year.
The 31st.
A different day every year.
What a month.
Crazy. What a month. Guys,
for the
women,
for the Irish, and for Easter. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I was going to say that to you.
Do you want to ask first?
Okay, yeah, I'll ask first. Let's just pretend it happened. Okay. Oh, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thanks for asking. Can you guys tell that we really plan our intro and outro?
I think that was good. I think mm-hmm. that people just want the real Gravid, the real Grace and David.
They do. And if you don't know, that's our couple name, Gravid. We just want to make it permanently what people call us, but it just hasn't caught on yet.
Not a single person.
No, not one. So like I haven't caught on yet, like nobody. No one's calling us that, but
okay, hear me out.
Okay.
When we get merch, if we were to like sign one, would you do the GRA and then I would sign the VID?
Ooh. Hey, I didn't realize that the way we broke it up, we both have an equal amount of letters.
Because here at Back to the Best,
we're about equality.
We're equals. You, the listener, an equal.
Wait, yeah, I think that's going to be our thing. I'll do GRA, you do VID. I just did it with my finger. So GRA, I like it. If you ever meet us in the world, come up and say hi. And just please, like, even if you don't want it, ask us to sign something just so we can do that. And then you can throw it out.
They literally rip it up in front of us.
They're like, I didn't even want it.
That would be fine.
Anyway, but I'm good. things are good. We moved into a new home this past week. And can we just talk about how exhausting moving is? Why haven't we really wrapped that up in a bow yet? What's going on?
Did you look into like movers? I've never actually looked into movers. I've always just moved myself or like been lucky enough to like have friends or family help me move.
Same. So my dad... my dad should come on an episode. He's fun. But he is the kind of gal who will not hire a moving service. That's how I was raised. My dad's very like, let's just do it and not spend the money. So I get that. So I'm the same way, but we have it pretty much down to a science at this point. Between my brother and I, we've moved so many times and my dad has helped every single time. He's the best dad ever.
Oh, bless.
My dad helped, and my husband's parents were in town, which was really helpful. And then my mom was also here.
It was a family affair.
It was a family affair. And that's the first, like our move before this, I was pregnant. So it was basically Tim and my dad, they're the only ones. It was tough. I had a bit of a breakdown because I felt very helpless. Like I couldn't help, but then I was also trying to, do something really important, like grow a human in my body. So it was tough. It was tough. But anyway, we did not hire a moving service. What a long-winded answer. Don't ask us questions. We will take 20 minutes to answer them. Oh, no.
Well, I'm glad you're in there. And it's a bigger apartment.
I'm glad. It's a bigger place.
Riley has her own room.
She's got her own room.
Has she decorated it?
Posters up on her walls. I go and buy like a pop magazine and put like all these Disney people on her walls.
I have a question. Not to take us off topic of your apartment.
No, take us off. I'm done.
You know, like, I mean, we had gone to years ago, we went to that thing at Madame Tussauds whenever it was 90s night. Anytime you do like a 90s museum or like whenever people will share their like 90s bedrooms, everyone had posters of like Britney Spears, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Destiny's Child, whatever, plastered all over their rooms. And you look at that and you immediately know, oh, they're a 90s kid. Do kids today put pictures of singers up? Is that like a thing people still do? Or no, because people aren't buying magazines like they used to. What are the kids hanging in their walls?
What are they doing? I don't know. That's a really good question. I don't know the answer. I want to say no, because I feel like kids today think everything we did was not cool. You know? But when I tell you, they were so perfectly lined up, like corner to corner. What magazine was it? Was it Pop or something?
J14.
You would get the giant fold out
posters.
Oh my God, I can still see it. I covered my wall. It was Bay Camp Rock time. Alison Stoner, Demi Lovato, the Jonas Brothers, like literally everyone from High School Musical, Hannah Montana, they were all there. I had all of them.
What a time.
It was honestly a great time. It's a great question. If maybe someone will let us know if they know if kids still do that, but I will be putting all those posters up on Riley's wall. So
please tell me that you saved all the Camp Rock posters and that's what's going to go up in Riley's bedroom.
We really don't know, because my bedroom and my house at home, it's like a time capsule. Like nothing's changed in it, really.
If you're new here, our moms are not the best at throwing things out.
No, but it's good though.
It has worked out so well
nostalgic
for us.
For nostalgic lovers, we go home and we find a lot of things. Whenever my mom moves from our house, our basement, there's so many things in it that I'm sure I haven't uncovered yet. But
I swear,
I have allergies. It's my allergies. I go down the basement and I sneeze.
Dust,
so I just don't.
The dust,
you
guys.
The dust, you guys. Oh, it's so much dust.
We can't handle the dust.
So much. That was so dramatic.
Wow. I think that might be a new level for us.
We really moaned. We did,
you guys, get over it. I think that we can't get over one thing though.
What? Tell them.
The fact that today's guest has been in, like, I would say at least a million of our favorite shows and movies.
Oh my God. I used to come home from school every day. I would go to my kitchen counter. We had a little tiny, like, boxy TV. I'd pour myself a bowl of like Reese's Puffs or some Apple Jacks, some cereal, and I would watch Rocket Power every day.
Wiggity, 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 wiggity,
wiggity, wiggity, wiggity. And you guys, you can see by the title, we always do this. You can see by the title.
You never know. Someone might have just clicked.
Gary Gray on, who was just one of the many things. Sam from Rocket Power, hello.
Sam from Rocket Power, AJ from The Fairly Odd Parents, Nelson from Even Stevens, and one of the most iconic Bring It On, All or Nothing, him and Hayden Panettiere.
Oh my God, it is iconic. I love that one. And just when you listen to this episode, he talks a lot about the training they went through for that movie, and I was exhausted listening to him. It sounded like it was so much work.
So much work. I was about to say we don't like work, but we do like work.
We do. We like this work.
We love this work.
We love this work.
And we love all of his work.
We love all of his work. Should we just like let them get into it?
We should let them get into it so that they can hear about all of his work.
So much work.
So without further ado, here is our chat with Gary Gray.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. I was trying to figure out some technical difficulties, but we got it now.
What are we, 4 years into like doing Zoom and we have technical difficulties almost every week?
All the time.
It's always something, right? Always something.
Yeah, we've had it where one of us will just like totally drop from the Zoom middle of an interview. So we'll see what happens today. Thanks for being here.
Hopefully that's not going to happen. Let's cross our fingers.
We always like to start off our interviews by asking how people got into the entertainment industry, and we were doing some research. So were you like a toddler model. Is that right?
Like a baby model?
When we were looking it up?
I was. That's some good research. That's great. It's so crazy because the question of how do you start always pops up. But, you know, I feel like I have kind of an unconventional way of going about it, you know, with what I did. And I was a part of a charm school out in Chicago area. And it's really pretty much I don't know how you would say, a big transition school from charm to runway. A lot of models that were coming out of Chicago and just that general area went through Cleo Johnson School. And so while I was there, it was just sort of mandatory to sort of get the, I guess, repertoire of, you know, print and runway and everything modeling. And I was in my first big fashion show, I think at 3 and a half. And that was, I believe, a Tommy. At first I thought it was Guess, but upon further research in my own life, some pictures surfaced and it was, I think, Tommy Hilfiger. So yeah, it was a Tommy Hilfiger show. I was 3 and a half. I was runway in New York, and the producer of that fashion show was also the producer of the Cosby Show at the time. And so that is how everything came to be. You know, they were like, hey, we think this kid would be perfect. And my mom didn't believe them at the time. She was just like, oh, cool, thanks. And we flew back to Chicago and you know, didn't think anything of it. And then received a phone call from Carsey Warner, who was the producers on the show at the time, and Bill himself. And, you know, the rest, as they say, is history. They were like, no, we want to fly you back out here. And
your mom's like,
this is a real thing.
Okay, so it's real. Oh, okay. She's like, oh, Bill? Oh, crap. Got okay, it. It's real.
Right. Exactly.
Wow. What a first show to be a part of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just recently on Twitter, I was, or X as they call it now.
I still cannot call it X.
I just call it Twitter. It doesn't stick.
It doesn't at all. I just sort of realized that I did Cosby Show, Fresh Prince, Living Single, and I feel like I'm missing one, Family Matters, before I was six. And so just that, you know, that sort of stack of shows were so influential at the time and so big that, you know, realizing it now to say that, wow, like Cosby Show was my first. And then I did those shows sort of back to back right after. It was just kind of incredible. And I'm just so thankful for that opportunity, because I don't really know many people that have done, you know, all of them. You know, there's definitely, you know, actors that are in my demographic that are like, yeah, I got to be on Family Matters and or Living Single or whatever. But to do all of them, I just, like I said, I feel really thankful to have done that. And like I said, for Cosby Show to be my first one too, that is a heavy hitter for sure out the gate.
Yeah. And when you kind of break in, so obviously you maybe had an agent, representation of some sort, or was it something like how you went from the runway to the Cosby Show through a connection? Were any of those shows or those networks, any contacts that overlapped, or did you just have to kind of re-audition or get the sides or get the script?
Yeah. Oh no. At that time I was still a pup in the game. You know, I was still auditioning, you know, everything came through. You know, I didn't have an agent right out the gate. Once I got Cosby Show and moved to New York and they put us up, that's when, you know, the agency sort of, you know, gamut kind of ran, and we were, you know, auditioning agents and, you know, trying to figure out what would be the best fit for me. And I believe we sided with Stuart Talent. And and they were really great at just plugging me where I needed to be. And it was incredible run, you know, one of those where you just feel like every audition you can book. And I was just kind of working with fire at that point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, don't fix what's not broken. Yeah, just do what you're doing.
Yep.
So you're doing all these iconic shows. How did you get into voiceover work then?
Wow. Voiceover work again. You know, I just feel really thankful to, as far as how that kind of fell in my lap. Literally, I was looking for new agents, and the agency that I was interviewing with, Arlene Thornton and Associates, was just really prominent in the voiceover community. And I just read for something, you know, a piece of copy in their you know, office, just as a, you know, just see what would happen. And Arlene, being the go-getter that she is, she was like, this is good enough to submit. And it was Rocket Power, and that was my first animated property. And, you know, playing Sam right out the gate again was just one of those things where you're just like, you couldn't ask for a better situation. Klasky, Supo, and being a part of Nickelodeon and the family at that point, you know, there was like Ah, Real Monsters and Wild Thornberries, Rugrats, you know, we were on at that time and it was just amazing, you know. And so, yeah, again, very thankful to just have been given that opportunity to sort of land with me. And I replaced a voice actor at that point. So it was even more, you know, sort of one of those situations where you look back and you're like, man, that was one of those things where I'm so thankful to get, because that was really kind of not, you know, common back in, you know, that time where you were replacing kids replacing kids. You know, you might have, you know, more experienced voiceover artists come in and replace a kid that maybe has scheduling issues, or it might be the other way around. You might have a voice actor that's really prominent, that's working on a lot of things, and then gets replaced by someone who is kind of new in the game and has a little bit more time to dedicate to the role. So again, just very thankful to kind of just slide right in that role.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Such an iconic time for Nickelodeon.
Man, seriously.
Oh, they were killing it.
Like, the Kids' Choice Awards, the parties were amazing. Let me just tell you.
I also feel like maybe it's not as rare as I'm thinking, but I feel like a lot of the times it's adults voicing kids in shows. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not that common to have kids actually playing
Rocket
kids on it.
Rocket Power was such an anomaly to have all of the main kid casts be kids. You know, it was just really unheard of, to be honest. And man, it was crazy, because at the time I was, I right from there moved and booked Clifford the Big Red Dog as well. And Clifford the Big Red Dog had a really huge cast. And I was the youngest, I think, me and Ulysses, who also played Twister on Rocket Power, was also on Clifford with me. And we were the youngest by, I believe, like 20 years. Like,
oh, wow.
You know, and that was just, you know, that was normal, you know, to have a cast full of 20 adults. And it's like, there's the one kid that we can, you know, we can afford to have a teacher for, you know, but, you know, that was really what it was. And, you know, like I said, Rocket Power was just so unique in that aspect. And it was so cool. We had so much fun, you know, just being able to be kids in a booth and bouncing off of each other creatively was just great. Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys were all together. Like, sometimes we
most of the time for Rocket Power, it was the four main casts together, and then the secondary characters would come in after. And again, same thing, you know, right now, because of how animation is done, and it's done with most of the time bigger names than it used to be, you have a lot of people being in the booth by themselves, you know, and so you don't really get that. I think the only other times where we had a lot of the cast was Clifford and Fairly Odd Parents. You know, and I've done a lot of voiceover work, and most of the time you're by yourself, you know, in the booth. So those were just great projects. Clifford was crazy because they had the entire cast in a huge, almost like orchestra room. You know, if you ever see like those behind the scenes where they're doing the score for a film, like, we were in one of those, and we were just sat in a semicircle, and, you know, we're able to just go off of each other and just ran down the, you know, episode from line one to the end. Again, unheard of, you know. Fairly Odd Parents is a little bit different because we had sort of, you know, a couple of the main characters, maybe like four of us, in the booth at a time. And then, you know, we would kind of jump around in the episodes. So just so many different experiences. And like I said, Rocket Power is just so unique, just to have those kids together, to be able to do all of their parts. And like I said, bounce off of each other creatively. I just haven't done it ever again in my 20 almost 30 now years in voiceover. So yeah.
Wow. Like, you haven't done a group session for the voiceovers like that? They just don't.
Not since then. No, it doesn't really happen with that many people, you know, anymore. And I, you know, obviously COVID probably has a big part to play in it now, you know, but even before then, you really didn't see many casts getting together like that, especially not Clifford. That was still, to date, the only time I've ever had an entire cast, you know, be a part recording at one time. Insane. And it used to take forever, but it was just at the same time, it was like, you wouldn't have it any other way with that show, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably, like you said, came down to studio time sometimes, because you would imagine that the chemistry is going to be that much better with everyone being able to be there together. And yeah. you guys have fun. We can hear it coming across. I mean, animation, we, especially as kids, you weren't that in tune with the acting.
Harshest critic.
You weren't really harsh, this voice, pristine.
Okay.
He is by himself.
No. I'm like, oh, I can tell. Pretty sure they're next to each other.
By himself. Right. No, I get you though. It's so fun. It's been one of those things that I feel has taken such a precedent in my life, you know, just acting wise, and as an actor to kind of feel like your life is one thing and then be introduced to something kind of midway through. And you're like, oh, wow, this is another level of, you know, what I can experience. Yeah, it's just been super rewarding. I love being a part of projects that people love to watch, you know, even into adulthood.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like especially with voiceover, you could start, and with some cartoons, you never know. Like, I feel like you've done Fairly Odd Parents for, what, 10, 15 years at this point?
Yeah, I did Fairly Odd Parents for 16 years. Yeah,
16 years, like
my longest job.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just crazy to even say, you know, 16 years that you were going into the booth and recording for something. Mm-hmm. I hadn't realized it, you know, until we had like a rap party a couple years back, and I was just like, what? we're how old?
How?
You know, that's crazy. No way. You made that up.
And do you have any like rituals, or especially for something running as long as 16 years, to keep your voice sounding the same? Like, because you're talking like you have a cold right now. Does that stuff happen?
Seriously, when I tell you the amount of times that AJ had to be voice reference for me, like, we'll come in like on from a hiatus, and like Butch is in the booth, and he's like, all right, you know what I'm about to do? I just got to sit down and listen to AJ for like a good 5 minutes.
Get it back. Get it
again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it happens. I did both Fairly Odd Parents and Rocket Power, you know, during a voice change, you know, like mm-hmm. I literally hit puberty, you know, and it was just like, what is happening? You know, oh gosh, everybody were like, oh, he's a man, you know, and it was just, you know, all of a sudden. And, you know, thankfully with something like Clifford, I had more of a character-y voice, you know, and it was an accent involved. So it was a little bit easier to sort of nail that. But when you're talking about like people like AJ and Sam or Squid that were pretty much just elements of my voice, you know, pitched a different way, that was really hard to kind of be like, oh man, I gotta go back in and
match it.
So mm-hmm. Yeah, for AJ to be held for that long is a long time. But yeah, that's the one thing, and that's probably why that's the one voice that I probably can still do. So that's the only one left. Right.
Listen, your voice deserves a rest. It deserves a rest from all these other ones.
Right. The others are retired. Well deserved. <They're good. laughs>
May they rest in peace.
Right.
When you would do things like the crossover with like Jimmy Neutron, would you guys get to record with like the Jimmy Neutron cast at all? Or would you kind of do like the Fairly Odd Parents thing? They would do their own thing.
Yes, we actually did. We recorded with a lot of the Jimmy Neutron cast, not as many as, you know, probably we would have liked, but there were, I believe, two or three cast members in the booth at all times when we were recording, you know, that crossover. So it was really cool to bounce off of, you know, them as well.
Oh, yeah.
To kind of feel how different booth energies are. You know, every cast has their brand of humor, their, you know, their things that they're comfortable with, you know, when it comes to joking about each other. And it's so cool to like, when you see other people come in, you're like, you see who is friends already and
sure.
who is kind of new, because it's like, do we say these things? You know, or, you know, I don't want to scare them. Talk about each other, you know, but it's always really fun to get another cast in there. It's always a learning experience, because you're steady kind of faced with some greats. You know, the Jimmy Neutron cast is just, you know, just a cast full of heavy hitters. So you're always looking to absorb things, especially in my position. And that's all I've done really over the years. It's like, yes, give me your power.
It's clearly working.
That's it. Right. I've lasted this long.
Keep it up.
I'm just soaking in their powers and, you know, I'm dispersing it very slightly across my career.
Yeah.
the key to longevity, right?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, first of all, not only were you in like these iconic Nickelodeon shows at what was the best time for Nickelodeon, then Even Stevens, mm-hmm. right in like the height of what we consider the best era for Disney Channel as right. well.
It you was. Know, it just was.
Yeah. You
know, we can say it.
It was crazy to be on with Lizzie, with, you know, Waverly Place and all of those. It was just one of those times, like you said, that mm-hmm. everything was just happening just in the right way, you know, as far as the content. And yeah, it was great being on Even Stevens, coming into that cast. And again, another cast that they had been together for some time. And here mm-hmm. I am, the new guy. And like I said, just really welcoming as a cast and just as a production. I felt like I kind of hit a comedy stride. You know, that was one of my first sort of roles where I could carry, you know, a character, really. You know, a lot of my things had been guest roles when it came down to being on camera mm-hmm. up until that point. So really kind of getting a role that, you know, had a character that people really resonated with, you know, in some ways, that was really cool to have, especially on a platform like Disney.
Oh my God, yeah. And like, I feel like especially because you could go in as a side character and sure, maybe you'll have like a couple lines, but no, you went in as one of the main actors, best friend yeah. all of a sudden.
Yeah. You know, just thrown right to the wolves. Yeah. Christy and Bryn. But it was great because also it's as a character that comes in that has sort of that sort of, like you said, side story, it's really cool kind of bouncing off of that main character. You're not just mm-hmm. the character that kind of has their thing and, you know, does their thing and exits. You know, I was yeah. attached to, you know, the namesake, you know, of the show at that point. So it was really cool to kind of get that, you know, experience that was somebody that I could grow with, you know, because yeah. like I said, up until that point, you know, I was either a baby or yeah, or I was, you know, not in it enough to feel that kind of progression, you know, so sure. that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. And you were also, we had George Anthony Bell on, I guess, a few weeks ago now. And yeah. we, of course, were talking about the musical episode of Even yeah. Stevens because yeah, yeah. it's iconic. And yeah. then, of course, like Ren singing We Went to the Moon in 1969, which just like comes into my head on like a random Wednesday sometimes. Like nothing's going on and I'll think time. About it.
And you'll Always be upset there. With yourself trying to yeah. figure out like, why is this melody? In my head, you could be singing something else. And it's like, now you're singing it and We Went to the Moon speak. And you're like, what is happening? So I completely understand. Mm-hmm. When we were filming it, it was terrible because we were like, ah, oh, get out of
Can't
my head.
Get it out.
Yeah, yeah. It was bad. So I feel for you. I am also a survivor of We Went to the Moon. So no, it was a great time. I remember them pulling me to the side and saying, hey, just so you know, we're gonna change your voice around a little bit, you know, for this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hearing it back, and I was like, oh my gosh, like people are gonna think that's me. And for a long time, I just told people it was me. I was like, yeah, that's me. It's totally mm-hmm. me.
Yeah,
like,
my voice. Yeah.
Kind of unique. I was like, just say it's weird. Don't worry about it. And, you know, but no, it was a great time to kind of just go through that with everybody. You know, we had a ball. There were some people who were more used to the sort of stage performance aspect of things. And like me, I was, you know, trained dancer at that point. So it was like, I'm used to these, the blocking, and then there were people that were like, I don't know what where is my
They're like, we're doing a musical right. episode.
So what? That was really cool. Everybody had a great time, though. Yeah.
When we had Lauren Frost on, she told us that because of that, it like made High School Musical become a thing. And so you really did start really a whole thing started. Over there.
We were definitely, you know, one of those kind of things that I feel were influential at the mm-hmm. very
oh, for sure.
At the very least, you know, I won't say that we started anything or, you know, had it, because there's been plenty of sort of musical-esque episodes in sitcoms and shows. But I think that the idea that you could market, you know, a existing property and you know, with kids and say, let's put it to song and dance and really go there. Yeah, I think we really, you know, were kind of in the sort of pioneers when it comes to that.
Yeah, because kind of it just worked so well.
Oh yeah, it
I
was
did,
like
especially
an,
for
yeah,
Eden, you know, we were two yeah. steps away from being theater.
Right, it was a very natural trajectory.
We were
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
And then you mentioned that you are a trained dancer, which we were already going to bring up, Bring It On, All or Nothing, because we love all the Bring It On movies.
All like 19 of them now? Or
like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't say all of them. I'd say like the first like five.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We've lost count. They are.
I think they're really on 10. They're like,
they right might be.
They're really going for
like,
it.
Like, people keep talking about Fast and Furious. I'm like, hey, Bring It On. Right there. Okay. Like, let's not forget.
It's so true. Yeah.
Right. But no, Bring It On was an incredible experience. That was crazy because the dance auditions were, you know, the most intensive thing. You know, we had those before the sort of, I guess you would say, the dialogue auditions. And just doing that with friends, because at the time in L.A., just dance in general was really big. You know, it was at the time of a lot of big things when it came down to the dance world. And so everybody was kind of, we knew each other. The community was very small. And so we showed up to the auditions and I knew Giovanni and Francia before, you know, just through class and stuff. So it was like, hey, you
know, that's so fun.
And, you know, having that in the audition probably, you know, got us where we are today. Because, yeah, every time we had, I think we did 4 dance auditions. And every time, you know, we were there, it was like we definitely had that chemistry where it was undeniable, you know, and and getting to set and incorporating the other people from Hayden to Solange to, you know, everybody else that was a part of the cast. It was one of those things, just like, you know, even Stevens, where it just worked, you know, and it was just one of those movies where you can really tell kind of where the cast really had fun sinking their teeth into doing all of these crazy things. And we had a lot of fun. That's, to date, is still one of my most fun jobs ever. Like, we just had a ball. Like, 3 months total, I think we were in cheer camp for about a month and a half, you know, and it was just, like I said, incredible the whole way through, even though we were sore every day. Cheering is one of the hardest ever. Again, I'm a professional dancer, trained, classically trained, ballet, pas de deux, modern, you know, African, tap, jazz, everything. And to date, I will still say cheerleading is harder than any training that I've had in dance. It's just, I don't even know why they do it. I'm like, all of the teams can't be that good.
The one takeaway
to warrant this kind of labor. It's not happening. I just feel like there's some high school team where you guys get like some pom-poms on the side. Because what they do is, it's insane. It's insane.
Oh, the way they throw Hayden, people and...
Yeah, oh my God, Hayden, they just toss them.
Broke her arm during filming.
Really?
You know, from a stunt. You know, there was so many injuries. And you're just like, you guys do this for fun. Like, you guys...
You choose. You're choosing to do this.
You don't have to.
You could have woken up and chosen something else. Exactly. And you chose this.
It's probably easier to be the athlete. Dead. Like, it's for sure. At that point, I was like, there's no way I'm deciding that I'm going to be the cheerleader over the football player, because that's hard. It's very difficult. And like the sets of things, when you realize, like, you look on ESPN and you realize how long they are dancing for, like, those numbers are 5-6 minutes long sometimes, and you're just like, this is insane. There's no way. And they're like, stunt after stunt after stunt, and you're like, I'm done after the first one. That's it. So
I can do like maybe a cartwheel.
Right.
And then I'm gonna sit down.
And that's just one aspect of cheer.
It's one.
Tumbling is just one aspect. Like, that's it. When we had a whole like week where they taught us how to position our arms and fingers and hands and things. Like this is not good. Like, you have to have outside the it's insane. Like, so many different things. Like, just that alone, you're like, what? I don't even want to remember all of that. Like, in dance, like, it's like, okay, you teach me the move. It's supposed to be there for that. Boom, I can remember it. It's on this part of the song. Mm-hmm. Got it. With cheer, there's so many rules and stuff, and you're like, you have to think about that while you're doing,
like, throwing what your fingers in the air. Are doing? Like,
yeah, no, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good on that. I'm good.
Yeah, while there's a body flying in the air that you're supposed to catch.
You can't smile. Miss.
Your head has to stay at a 90-degree angle. Like, if you notice, like, where their heads are and their necks when they're in the air, all of that is very deliberate.
And it's crazy. Like when we got there and they're teaching us that, and I'm like, I'm glad I'm not a flyer. I'm glad I'm just holding you at the bottom because there's no way.
Oh my God. Yeah. Those flyers have so much faith and trust in the people below them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was that guy. And I was like, I wouldn't trust me.
You're like, I'm going to do my best.
Don't do it. I'm going to do my best. Because but... I'll get in trouble if you fall. That's what keeps us going here. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how people do that professionally. Hats off to them. But it was definitely one of the hardest like camps that I've ever done. I've done sea lion training, for goodness sakes, when I was 10 for Slappy and the Stingers. And that was a piece of cake.
Cheerleading camp.
And they're like, he could hurt you. And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. Yeah, here's the fish. Like, I'm excited. After cheer camp, the first week, I was done. I was like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I can. We get a body double?
Something else?
Right. Where is the double? Where are the doubles? You know? Well, but yes, we had an amazing stunt team as well on there. And thank you guys for actually doing some of the more dangerous things, because I don't know if I would have done it.
No.
Yeah, especially that last dance that you guys have, I felt it goes on for forever and ever. Would you get to break that up, or was it like each take you would do the whole thing?
You know what really sucked is what you're hearing is not even the song that we were doing it to.
Completely
changed. Yeah. And this, you know, I'm guessing it was because of like licensing and things like that. But what we did it to just made so much more sense, you know, to as a viewer. And so we did it a couple of ways. We did it all the way through, definitely a couple of times. But we did get to break some of the stunts up individually. So some of the what they call the TikTok, I think, is when they split. They have two flyers and they split them and they lean and then they bring them back up like that. That we got to do sort of individually, you know, in filming, because it was so, you know, such a dangerous stunt. Mm-hmm. That is actually, I believe, the stunt that Hayden broke her arm on.
Oh no.
Poor Hayden. But
I cannot imagine the production when that happened.
Oh my God.
We had, I believe it was close to about 400 extras that day. I don't think Rihanna was there that day, so it was good. But yeah, it everything stopped. They were just like, well,
what are you going to do?
What do you do?
Yes, that's it. Luckily, it was one of the last days of filming, and it was something that they were able to work around, you know, having her in a sling and stuff like that. So she was a trooper, though. She was a trooper. She got right up and she was just like, I can go. I can go. And they're like, no.
They're like, don't.
You can't.
Yeah. You broke your arm, Dalton.
Right. Yeah. But no, it was still, regardless of all of the, I mean, and we were in the high, it was summer, I remember, and we were at, you know, Dorsey High, just in the baking hot sun, and it was just, you know, upwards of 100 degrees every day.
Oh,
you're just out there doing cheer rehearsal, and you're like, we're not even filming yet, and I am bucking.
Dying.
Yeah, I am dying. So, you know, we even with all of that, that was just such a fun set. You know, just everybody bonded because we went through the trenches. We really did have to. We felt like we went through a real deal boot camp together. So, yeah, shout out to everybody involved. Hey, Gio. Hey, Fun.
So you're saying that you'll be in Bring It On 25.
Right.
You're gonna do it again. That's what we're getting to.
Bring It On right back again for the last time.
Bring It On again and again, and this is the last one, maybe.
Bring It On again and again and again. That's yeah, you know, as a Tyson person, I just tell people, I was like, I just wouldn't want to cut the sexual harassment from my character.
Sure.
And then we're good. You know, we're
can be work.
Yeah, I'll return. I'll be Tyson again as long as he's just not grabbing people as they pass by.
Fair.
You could just not do that, you know.
Yeah, some things just didn't age well.
Yeah, no, You know, but you know, he learned his lesson, you know, he you know, Hayden, you know, kind of put him in his place a little bit. But still, I still wouldn't do it. I don't think.
I swear, like, all the time on TikTok, I'll be scrolling and then I'll see like the dance battle that you and Hayden have. I feel like it's always everywhere still.
I have a running joke on Twitter, and I tell people that you don't go three weeks without seeing it. And it's literally like,
no, it's true.
Every 3 weeks there is a viral tweet around that dance scene. And now, for some reason, my Family Matters scene where the Fresh Prince dad, Phil Avery, comes onto the set. And the dad for Family Matters, Reginald, he doesn't know. And so he comes and he walks and you see the surprise on you know, his face. That clip has also now become every 4 weeks, somebody different is like, hey, y'all, you ever seen this clip? I've never seen this before. And I'm like, how have this many people not seen these scenes? Because Bring It On Dancing is the same thing. They'll post a tweet and it'll be like, hey guys, I can't believe I didn't remember it looked like this. What about y'all? And I'm like, how do you not remember? It's every 3 weeks. Every week is here. It's everywhere. There are millions of views on this tweet. How do you guys not know? How have you not seen it? Can we put it to rest? Because if I have to see Hayden going one more time, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know.
Well, that's what's so crazy about the time that certain shows and movies aired, and then today, where things are streamed, and then there's TikTok, and there's, you know, you can just take your phone and film it. You can replay it. Like, it doesn't stop. But before, it was like, we're going to watch it when it's on at Wednesday at 9 p.m. And that was kind of
MTV was like, bring it on at 7 on Friday.
And yeah, and that's when you watched it. And now it's like just constantly replaying on social media.
For whatever purpose, it could not be anything Bring It On or dance related in the slightest. Somebody's like, I got Taco Bell, and it's just Hayden. And it's like, can't get away from it.
It's so true. Nothing is safe.
So many uses to it, I guess. Yeah.
It's so true.
Our last Bring It On question. Are you personally as big of a fan of Rihanna as your character in the movie was?
Give us.
I don't know if anyone is as maybe ASAP, maybe you know, as big of a fan as Tyson was. You know, it was so crazy because when it came out, I was really listening to Rihanna. Like I was, like I played. Oh man, what is the if it's Loving That You Want, You Should Make Me Your Girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
your girl, that song. Mm-hmm. I listened to it literally on the way to Bring It On, like rehearsals and stuff. And that was before it was actually Rihanna in the script, because it was at that point it was just Star. You know, they didn't know who they were going to be able to get. I think at one point it was even Swin Cash, I believe, who is WNBA player. You know, and so there were so many things that I was just like, whatever, you know, whoever shows up, you know, cool. But I was playing that song every morning on the way to rehearsal, to cheer rehearsal. So the fact that they chose Rihanna, and I was so excited. I was like,
like
Rihanna's going. And I remember that day that she came, I was in hair and makeup with her. And literally, I'm just like in the makeup chair like,
yeah, what do you do?
You're like, I listened to you on the drive-in.
And she wasn't even, you know, she wasn't Rihanna who like Rihanna is now. Even.
Fair.
But I was still like, yo, she's going to be huge. Like, you know, there's those people who you just feel like you hear a song or you see a music video and you're like, they're going to be big. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you don't really rock with the music like that, you know, I don't listen to, you know, island pop a lot. And so for that, even though it was big at that time, you had like a lot of different artists coming out that were sort of in that genre, but wasn't my thing, you know, and for her to kind of come on the scene and really kind of get people along with that, and then for her to flip it and do other genres very well, you know, it was just amazing. And I think I think she's still amazing. I don't listen to her music as much anymore, for sure, but I still have the utmost respect. I think she's an incredible artist. I think one of those people who really took stardom to, you know, the levels that you're supposed to take it. She said, cool, everything that I want to do, I'm going to do it to, you know, an empire level. And
that's seriously.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You can't hate that.
an icon.
I was going to say, she is such an icon. Definitely. Like when people were waiting for her music to come back, it was like,
still, we're still waiting.
Right.
People are like, where's the music, Rihanna?
She was finally like on the Super Bowl halftime show. And we were like, okay, here she is. Like, I remember I was thinking, it was like, something's going to come out. Like, this is going to be the time. This is going to be it.
She's like, nope, I'm just having babies.
Yeah, I'm just pregnant.
Honestly, do your thing, girl.
Right. Like, at this point, that's what
she can do whatever.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Have that family life. You've gotten to the point where you've taken a lingerie business to the billions of dollars in revenue. You know, that's crazy. So
yeah,
hats off. Go have your babies and sit down.
Got other things going on.
And then before you jump off, could you tell us a little bit about Gray Skies Entertainment?
Man, yeah. It's been a long time coming. I've been writing since I was 16. I won the National Screenwriters Fellowship out here in LA, and I was mentored by a couple of screenwriters because of that. And David Hayter being one of them, who wrote, you know, the original, not the original, but the first X-Men movie, and Watchmen as well. And, you know, just having the ability to work on projects that are your own. I preach, I also do voiceover coaching. And when I teach my students, I say, you know, be a consumer. This is the biggest thing that I've learned as a benefit to my career, is being a consumer, ingest these things that are out here. That's what you want to create. It has to come, you have to kind of draw that, not inspiration, but you have to draw that structure from somewhere, right? If this is what people are watching, and you have to sort of conform your vision to reach some form of that in some way. And so I've long been writing and doing behind the scenes work from as long as I can remember. But I didn't really get serious until, I would say, man, about 10 years ago, when I helped a friend of mine, Raven Kelly, who is also a phenomenal actress. She was little Tina Turner in What's Love Got to Do with It, and she was in A Time to Kill with Sam Jackson. She is a producer now, and she got me sort of into the behind the scenes stuff. She, you know, needed some help on a project that she was doing. And through that, I kind of was like, you know, I kind of feel a little bit cool doing this. Yeah. I might be able to work around this. So Gray Skies was born out of that, and just the belief that I could put marginalized communities and people who aren't seen in certain roles at the forefront of my productions. Because for me, that's been the thing throughout my career. I've, you know, known that I've been stereotyped. You know, I've been the black friend or the nerd, you know, just so many times. And, you know, me looking at certain roles and salivating because it's simply a role that I just never got to do. You know, I did a show called Trace on Amazon. And I got to play a detective, and I was like, man, I never auditioned even to play, a detective, you know, and just because of my look and my demographic. And so things like that are very important to me and to the company. We are a small boutique company at this point, but, we have been working. I, as a CEO, have been very adamant about not releasing anything or not doing anything until everything is ready.
Sure.
And basically able to be on a screen. So that's why it's just kind of been a long time coming. We've just been cooking, you know, as you can say. But the time has come to kind of reveal and release some things. So we are getting ready to sort of ramp things up. And my partner, Brandon Jackson, who is just a phenomenal creator, has done amazing work creating some fantasy stories that are in the realm of mythical creatures like that we know, like Dracula and Mommy Wada, and werewolves and things. And we have this amazing shared universe that we just can't wait to sort of premiere and show people. So we are working diligently on that this year. And we'll be filming hopefully by next year. So I have an animated property that is reminiscent of like Bill and Ted's Grim Adventure.
So good.
About an undead undead school for soul takers, I guess you could say. I can't really reveal too much about the story, but you know, with a funny principal who's the Grim Reaper and so on and so forth. So you know, that's kind of where my head is at, is really sort of putting these projects that you just don't really get to see very often with people that you don't get to see very often. I have another project that is based in the Taino world, Taino culture, which is Puerto Rican, you know, native And it is a fantasy project that features a lot of their myths and legends and stuff like that. So very interested in that, and will continue to do so. But like I said, you definitely should be hearing big things, hopefully, by next year. We definitely will be in the works.
Is there like, where will you be announcing these things?
So I have right now, we just have a social media presence. I don't have a website because I was working on a couple of licensing things. So once we get all of that done, we will have a website up. But right now we are on social media, which is at Gray Skies Entertainment, and it's Gray with an A, not an E, just like my name. So G-R-A-Y Skies Entertainment, all one word. And that's on Twitter X,
whatever you want to call it,
whatever, right, X,
as
Twitter,
well as Instagram. So, you know, there's where we will announce everything. And we have a couple of short projects that are coming up that you will see that will sort of premiere the company in a way. But yeah, right now we are taking submissions as well. So if you have any ideas that you're just like, man, I can't put this to paper, that is what we specialize in. That is cool. So yeah, that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Sounds so cool. Awesome. Yeah. We'll be on the lookout, and everyone listening, be on the lookout.
Yeah. You're at such a cool part of your career too, where you get to like focus on this like passion that you have as well. Yeah. And like get to do something that you're really into, which is just
exactly
really cool.
Yeah, I really have gotten to the point where I can give back a lot. You know, like I said, I've been coaching for the past couple of years, and even that alone has been so rewarding, to be able to see people that have taken my knowledge and turned it into something, you know, that they love to do. The company is just another arm of that, you know, where mm-hmm. I can really sort of get Brandon, like I said, my partner, came to me on Twitter. You know, I had the company, and you know, I had been posting a couple of things and a couple of projects. I had auditions for a project that I was getting ready to film, and Brandon simply DM'd me and said, "Hey, I love what you are doing. I love what you're about. You know, these are the things that I have. Would you be willing to take a look?" And you know, like I said, the stuff was just so incredible that he couldn't leave without a job. So. Yeah, now he's stuck with me forever. So nobody gets him. Warner Brothers and Sony and all. I've
back
got him.
Off.
But we are. When I tell you we're creating something truly incredible with our shared sort of monsterverse, if you would call it, it's looking to be incredible. So I'm very excited. So can't wait to reveal more. We should, like I said, hopefully by the end of this year, we have some pretty cool names looking to be attached to our like test shoots. So we are looking to make some waves this year for sure.
Aww. I can't wait to follow this. Yeah,
I know. It's yeah, everyone, it's Gray with an A.
Yes.
Gray
A.
Skies
Entertainment. Yes. GS.
Well, we can't wait. Thank you so much again for taking your time and chatting with us. This has been so much fun.
No, of course. And you guys have an amazing podcast. I definitely, once you guys, you know, hit me up, I did my scrolling and stuff, and you guys have such an amazing, I love, you know, the sort of 90s and nostalgia podcasts are plentiful now, you know, obviously, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's just kind of a cool thing. But you really kind of sometimes can see the people who really are encouraged by that era, by the people in that era, and really kind of love just the things about it. And you mm-hmm. know, there's also people who are kind of fan servicing and just kind of know that it's cool. Yeah. But you guys definitely have a genuine love for it, and I, like I said, I love just everything you guys are doing, so keep it up for sure.
Thank you so much.
Nice. Oh, no, of course. And anytime, hopefully maybe I can be back sometime and premiere some stuff.
That'd be amazing.
We'd love that.
There's a lot of cool things coming up, stuff in just my career, not even with Gray Skies, that I can't talk about still.
Okay,
but they hopefully will be out very soon.
I can't wait for that too.
we're always right here, just let us know.
Thank you so much again.
No problem. Thank you guys, and have
thank
a great
you
day.
Okay, David.
Yeah.
When they announce the casting for the next Bring It On, will we attend the audition?
Well, so here's the problem.
Okay.
If there's a role that doesn't have to cheer, sign us up.
We're in. Maybe just like supporters of the cheerleaders. We could play that role, you know, because Gary, we're not going to be cheerleaders. I don't think that's going to be added to our resume. He really let us know an inside scoop about just how hard it is. And we like to work hard, like we said, but that's a little bit out of our range, I think.
I need to point something out. Mm-hmm. We 2 years ago now, I think, went mm-hmm. to this convention called the Hellmouth Con, where we briefly got to meet Claire Kramer, who was, of course, in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's why she was there. But she was mm-hmm. also in the original Bring It On. Mm-hmm. And during a Q&A, we got to ask her a question about if the cheers were hard or if it was harder to learn the Buffy fight scenes. And she pretty much said like the exact same thing as he yeah. said about Bring It On All or Nothing. She said like how difficult the cheer camp was. They were doing the like training for so long and that there was like no stunt doubles. So that's just a classic Bring It On thing.
No, it's very classic. So we don't have our answer yet if we will attend the audition. It depends what the role is, but we will not be cheerleading.
I mean, what if we show up just already with our stunt doubles?
Oh, that's a good idea.
We could just find someone who looks similar to us.
Looks just like us. Yeah. Yeah. That's well, okay.
I hope we have twins out there.
I know. Oh my God. What if we were just like walking down the street and we saw you and me walking right at us?
A dream come true.
A dream. Speaking of dream come true.
Yep. Tell them.
To say that we never had a dream come true till the day that we saw
S Club. We are on Zoom this week. The Zoom delay doesn't work when we sing.
Okay. If you follow us on Instagram at BTTP Podcast, go give us a follow. We'd be really, really happy to have you. We went and saw S Club live in concert for the first time
ever. First opportunity.
When I tell you that it took us a couple days, like the come down from it was a couple days, we were in a bit of a depression, I think, after the show was over.
I don't know if I'm still down.
I know. I mean, I remember you looked at me when they were doing the encore and you said, you were like, oh my God, it's almost done. Like it hit us there because it was a great show all around, but the second half, they were killing it. Oh, it was just like banger after banger after banger. I mean, we were just standing the whole time. Poor David hurt his ankle this past week, but we did not sit down.
Nothing. I told Grace, I was like, it was like the magic of S Club healed it.
Mm-hmm. Adrenaline.
During the concert, couldn't feel a thing. As mm-hmm. soon as it was over.
Throbbing.
I also just want to, everyone close your eyes unless you're driving, mm-hmm. then don't. I just want to set the scene because Grace and I, we were up in the balcony. We mm-hmm. were on the aisle of our section. Mm-hmm. We hugged each other. I think at least 10 times during the concert. Just out of nowhere.
I texted David the next day and I was like, remember how many times we hugged?
Because
we were just so happy.
I'm going to our website right now.
Okay. It's www.btdpodcast.com if anyone's looking to go to our website.
No, we don't have to say that later.
No, we won't. We'll probably say it again.
Because I think from the very first day of this podcast, mm-hmm. yep, day one, we did an episode in Grace's closet. I think it's like a 15-minute episode if you want to really take a deep dive back there. Mm-hmm. But we said what our favorite 90s to 2000s things were. Mine here, where it said girl group, I wrote S Club, parentheses, close enough.
I remember that.
Day one, we have said that they are like our favorite band.
Oh my God.
And like, we, of course, have interviewed three of them. And we've talked so many times about like, would they ever do a reunion tour? Would they ever bring it over here? Mm-hmm. And it mm-hmm. happened.
We posted it on our Instagram, but we filmed a video. When was that? Like 2-3 years ago? And we were making a TikTok of us just like sitting on the couch with Doritos saying like if S Club ever went and toured or had a concert and it finally happened, it was just more than a dream come true. Like David and I were obviously there. My brother was there too. And I remember even him, he was just like, Grace, like our 10-year-old selves would be freaking out. And we were. So we screamed. All of us were just like screaming on our feet the whole time. The merch line, people wanted all the merch. The merch line was so long.
So long. We couldn't wait. We would have missed that. We would have missed the beginning of the concert if we waited.
Oh, yeah. But they, oh my God, it was so good.
They did every single song that you could have wanted them to do.
Oh, yeah. The choreography was killer.
And it was the final night of the tour. They pointed out that Simon Fuller, the man who created S Club, was sitting there.
Was there. We laughed. We sang. We hugged. Oh, we got popcorn. Oh, David and I got popcorn. Yeah, we got, we got popcorn. Okay, no, we got the popcorn. What did we get? The popcorn and candy combo?
We did.
We got the popcorn and candy combo.
I just want to point out, though, that they had like a separate stand for food, but that was only for like nachos and things like that. You could only get popcorn from the bar. So everyone's there getting their wine, their beer.
I walked up and we said, could we please have two waters in the popcorn and candy combo?
It was honestly, I know we keep saying a dream come true, but it was. They have the best popcorn at the Orpheum Theater in LA.
Oh my God, it's delicious. It comes in this little perfectly cute square salted box. And what candy did we get, you're asking? M&Ms. What did we do with them? We put them in the popcorn box. It was like a little surprise when you just reached in sometimes and got some M&Ms. Come to a concert with us. We're a blast.
Yeah, if anyone wants to, next time S Club does another reunion tour over here, hit us up.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It was good.
If any of our winners, we had five winners from our S Club contest on Instagram who each won a pair of tickets to the show. If you're listening, we hope you had as much fun as we did.
Yes, we hope you did. Thank you for entering the contest and loving S Club as much as we did. I think there was a girl, I think her name was Christine. She messaged us. She was definitely there.
Oh yeah, she said she had a good time.
Hope you enjoyed it. But what a time. I don't know if anything will ever top it. We say that, but we love a lot of things in this world. But it was up there as one of the best nights.
It's like, for nostalgia lovers like us, oh my God. And they also really really like just dove into the fact that we were all there for nostalgic purposes. Like Bradley even talked about how like they were musicians in a whole different time where like cell phones weren't a thing. And they're like, at one point they were like, thank you for letting your 10-year-old selves come here and like let it all out.
Oh my God. And everybody did that. Everyone was so into it. It was just like we said, and David said, it just, we never thought this would happen because they haven't toured in the US, and it was just, it was a dream come true.
And you know what else was a dream come true? Having Gary Gray on. Gary, thank you. If you're listening, thank you so much again for coming on. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Like, I feel like he's one of those that we could have talked to for hours.
Oh, for hours. He had such great stories to share about the amazing projects that he's worked on. We've mentioned them, but, and you just heard them, but Rocket Power, Fairly Odd Parents, Cosby Show, Clifford. He's done so many amazing, amazing things. And we just really could have listened to him share his stories for so long. So Gary, thank you so much.
And like Gary mentioned in the episode, you can follow his company, Gray Skies Entertainment, just at Gray Skies Entertainment. And you can give him a follow on his personal Instagram as well. He is at Gary L. Gray.
He also has linked on his Instagram the link for the workshops that he teaches. So if you're interested in that, if you know someone who's interested in workshops, it is www.gsactingworkshops.com. And their website's really great. You can book your first class today. David, right, should there? We do it?
I kind of want to.
We might book our first class today.
I mean, there is no better person to learn from than someone who's done all of those things.
For so many years, he has so much knowledge on all of this. And he was just so, so nice. Gary, again, thank you. Thank you for chatting with us. And thank you, all of you, for listening to this episode. If you want to hear more episodes, we release them every week. We are on Instagram at BTTV Podcast. or oh, we talked about Twitter, X Twitter. We're on there.
We
back
are
to the best.
We are on there.
You know, we're on Facebook, TikTok, all the things, but you can just go to our website. It's www.bttbpodcast.com and everything is right there for you. It just, you're welcome. We just decided to make it easy. Okay.
You're welcome.
Guys, we're getting a little loopy this time of day, aren't we?
5:21 p.m.
5:21 p.m. is when we lose it.
On a Friday. Happy. I mean,
TGIF.
People listening to this, maybe someone's listening to this on a Friday. I don't know. We should probably leave.
Yeah, we should probably go. We're not doing great.
I think we're doing fantastic.
You're right. We should not talk negatively about ourselves or to ourselves. We're doing fantastic.
And everybody listening, go into the next day.
Oh, his hand
positively.
Is
positively. You're gonna go get the day.
Mm-hmm.
Make it great.
Make it yours. Great.
And you know what else would be great if you tune in next week? We have another fantastic guest next week. We're so excited about it. Stay
so
tuned
excited.
To all our socials. You'll hear about it there first.
Mm-hmm.
And just tune in then. Mm-hmm. Where we are going to keep taking you.
Back to the best. Bye.
Bye. What was the bye?